Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is Monday, June 29th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today: Facebook boycott and Chesapeake bankruptcy, struggling for direction, and 737 MAX recertification. Leading today's news: organizers of the Stop Hate for Profit campaign against Facebook are preparing to take the battle global, as well as emboldening regulators in Europe to take a harder stance on the social media giant. Since the campaign launched on June 17th, more than 160 companies, including Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Unilever, and Verizon, have pledged to stop buying Facebook ads for the month of July, and some have even gone further. CEO Mark Zuckerberg laid out some policy changes on Friday, but the boycott publicity sent Facebook's stock down 8%, wiping out $56 billion in market capitalization. What does the campaign want from Facebook? Solutions include a separate moderation process to help users who are targeted by racism, more transparency on how many incidents of hate speech are reported, and to stop generating ad revenue from harmful content. Facebook is down 2.3% pre-market. In other news, the U.S. shale industry pioneer Chesapeake, long rumored to be seeking a bankruptcy filing, has formally commenced with the process after filing for Chapter 11 proceedings. What happened? It amassed a huge land position that came with a lot of debt and commitments to drill, as well as long-term contracts with pipeline companies that turned into liabilities. Chesapeake Energy has $925 million in debtor-in-possession financing to get through the bankruptcy process, while creditors will likely expect the company to emerge as a much smaller entity. According to analysts, more than 200 shale companies may file for bankruptcy over the next 2 years if oil and gas prices stay at around current levels. Following a brutal sell-off on Friday, U.S. stock index futures seesawed overnight as investors digested the latest coronavirus infection rates and what it will mean for the economy. At the time of writing, Dow futures are up 128 points, the S&P 500 is ahead by 0.4%, while contracts tied to the NASDAQ are dipping into the red due to troubles at Facebook. Over the weekend, coronavirus cases worldwide passed 10 million, with more than 500,000 deaths. 2.5 million infections were confirmed in the U.S., and more than 125,000 deaths were from COVID-19. On Sunday, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar also warned that the window was closing for the U.S. to take action and get the coronavirus pandemic under control. Boeing and the FAA today will begin a 3-day certification test campaign for the 737 MAX, which has been grounded for nearly 15 months. Likely weeks later, after the data is analyzed and training protocols are firmed up, FAA Administrator Steve Dixon will board the same plane to make his assessments, Reuters reports. If all goes well, the FAA would then need to approve the new pilot training procedures, among other reviews, and would likely not approve the plane's ungrounding until September. Based on those projections, the jet would be on a path to resume U.S. service before year end, though the process has been plagued by delays for more than a year. Historic changes may be coming to the travel sector as the coronavirus pandemic reverberates to all areas of the industry. Airbus is assuming a 40% drop in production over the next 2 years as it draws up rapid restructuring plans to deal with the upcoming slump. I will go on the record to say that travel will never, ever go back to the way it was pre-COVID. It just won't, Airbnb CEO Brian Chesky told Axios. There are sometimes months when decades of transformation happen. He predicts that vacationers will stay closer to home in the near future, largely limiting their travel to places within driving distance, though people will one day get back on planes. The Fed has purchased the bonds of 794 different companies, with the paper of Apple, Verizon, AT&T, and the U.S. divisions of Toyota, Volkswagen, and Daimler making up 10% of the amount spent. The plan is to buy $250 billion of debt already issued and $500 billion in newly issued bonds. Fed officials have said the goal of the buying is to maintain liquidity in the market for corporate debt, so that issuers are able to access capital despite the economic downturn created by the COVID-19 pandemic. The FDIC is kicking off a competition among 20 data and technology firms to develop a new reporting prototype for the more than 3,200 community banks the agency oversees. What we would like to do is frankly make the quarterly call reports obsolete, and not because we wouldn't have the data, but because we would have better data and we would have more timely data, Chairman Jelena McWilliams said in a Wall Street Journal interview. The coronavirus pandemic has demonstrated how bank reporting can be out of date. For example, the FDIC wasn't able to brief the public on the first quarter health of the industry until earlier this month, and that briefing didn't include data past March. The L'Oreal Group has decided to remove the words white, whitening, fair, fairness, and light, lightening from all its skin evening products, the cosmetic company said in a statement on Saturday. The announcement follows a decision by Unilever on Thursday to rename their India-marketed Fair and Lovely Skin Lightening Cream for the same reason. Johnson & Johnson made a similar decision earlier this month, saying it would stop selling skin lightening products under its Clean & Clear and Neutrogena brands. Cosmetics maker Coty has agreed to buy a 20% stake in Kim Kardashian West's makeup brand KKW for $200 million, according to the Financial Times, though details on KKW's sales or profits were not disclosed. The deal values the three-year-old company at $1 billion, slightly less than the $1.2 billion valuation Coty put on Kim's younger sister Kylie Jenner's business when it bought a 51% stake last year. Meanwhile, shares of Gap soared nearly 20% on Friday after the retailer announced a 10-year deal with the Yeezy fashion brand of Kanye West, who is married to Kim Kardashian. Under Armour is discontinuing its partnership with UCLA, a 15-year, $280 million contract announced in 2016 that was billed as the biggest apparel deal in the history of American collegiate sports. The company had agreed to design and supply shoes, gear, and uniforms for all 25 of the university's men's and women's varsity athletic teams, replacing the university's deal with Adidas. "We have been paying for marketing benefits that we have not received for an extended time period," Under Armour said in a statement, while UCLA said it was exploring all our options to resist Under Armour's actions. As of 6:20 a.m. today, the S&P 500, Dow, Bitcoin, crude oil and gold are all set to open in the green, with the Nasdaq slightly down. On today's economic calendar, pending home sales are out at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated. That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.